Welcome back, guys, to another session. Today, we're going to be talking about resolving your past so that you can create a new future. And this topic is all about reflecting. It's all about becoming aware of what's present for you. And it's all about accepting, forgiving, and healing whatever you need to heal. And it's all about understanding that whatever happened to us in the past can have an impact in the way we show up now. And if we don't do the work of becoming aware of that, we're going to keep moving forward influenced by how we react to what happened. And this is something that can be a little bit confusing or complicated. Clearly, it's really, really difficult to do this. It's very difficult, but it is necessary. And I want to hear from you guys in the comments. Why do you think it's helpful to resolve the past? Why do you think can be helpful to resolve your past, whatever is present for you? And do you have any specific examples? Let me know in the chat what you think. And then I'm happy to share a bit more. And by the way, I am connecting today from my new place. I finally have internet installed. It only took 2 weeks, so that's really a long time. But I'm so happy that it seems that things are working really well now. And I am in the bedroom in our new apartment here. So it's really nice to be able to work from home. I don't have to go anywhere like I had to before. Laura says, all habits and ineffective ways of coping with things, ineffective. Amazing. Laura, that's really true. Amy says, not to live in fear or react unconsciously to people. Yeah, unconsciously. That is a really good word, Amy. Many times we do things unconsciously, and the work is to shine a light on that, because we may not see it. And as soon as we can see it, even though it may be uncomfortable and unfamiliar, at least we can start doing something with it. I have been feeling stuck for years and haven't been able to break out of survival mode. So Darcy, thank you for sharing. And the fact that you are typing that down, that tells me that you are open to exploring. You are willing to go to the uncomfortable and the uncertain feeling of exploring what's present for you, so you can move forward and grow in a healthy way. Yeah. So that we don't drag our past negative experiences into the present and future. Give ourselves a chance to take a lesson, to grow, but not carry it. Yeah, Priya, you know how that's called? That it's called post-traumatic wisdom. It's just wisdom that we collect after experiences. And maybe it doesn't have to be traumatic, but any experience that was challenging for you, when you overcome that experience, you create what's called wisdom. And I read somewhere that wisdom is when you have learned from that experience, but that experience no longer triggers you, no longer interferes with your way of moving forward. So maybe it keeps triggering you and you are aware of it, but you can still move forward in the way that you are deciding. So it's not a burden anymore. It's not something that controls you 100% anymore. And the more you live, the more the percentage will go down. Some experiences may carry a charge for the rest of your life, but some others, it may fade over time, but the work is to really become aware of them. So that's a really good one. Kathleen says, I can forgive others, which allows me to continue relationships with them. The only one I have trouble forgiving is myself. Kathleen, beautiful. Beautifully said. We are normally the most mean to ourselves. We can't forgive ourselves, but we can forgive others. and we treat ourselves really poorly compared with how we would treat other people. And this is something that shows up for a lot of us all the time. So it's really good that you are aware, and it's really good that that is the reality. And now what can we do with it? And that's the work. How can we change? How can we start doing something different? Isadora says, Albert Einstein said, you cannot solve problems with the same mindset that created them. Yeah, that's so true. So how can we get out of our mind and look at the problem with a different mindset? That is the work. And that's, Joe Dispenza also says, you have to become someone else, right? You have to become someone else in order for you to start moving forward in a different way. And I feel that you become someone else when you do this work. Anytime you are questioning, you are becoming aware of something that was unconscious before, and now it is conscious, now you have noticed it, and now you are doing something with it. Maybe you are starting to accept it, maybe you are starting to forgive yourself a little bit, maybe you are starting to think about different ways of coping with that experience or emotion that you are encountering. And then anytime you start choosing something different, you are somehow becoming someone else. You are creating a new way of dealing, coping with the same experience in a different way than what you have done until now. So that is basically becoming someone else. Sometimes you become someone else really fast, sometimes you become someone else slowly, but we keep evolving. And that is the processing that needs to keep happening, right? That is resolving your past, processing your past, healing your past. You can use whatever word resonates with you, because at the end of the day, it's the same. It's just doing something with what happened and creating a different relationship, giving it a different meaning. And then whatever you need to do so that you can move forward without being controlled, without being influenced negatively, without unconsciously repeating something that you no longer want to repeat. And that is the work. You have to become a more evolved version of yourself. Absolutely. And how can we do that? By showing up every day, by being present, by being willing to go to the discomfort of looking at things in ourselves that we don't like, that are ugly. And then hopefully you will start finding different ways of doing things. Amy says, for me, I believe past unresolved trauma dysregulated my nervous system and led to chronic illness. I am healing now finally, but the journey has not been physical, honestly. The growth and change is mostly internal work. Then my body has the physical resources to heal on all levels, even spiritually. Yeah, Amy, beautiful share, and thank you for sharing your journey. And I am very aware of your journey, and I'm so grateful to have you here as an example. This is internal work. Sometimes I call it invisible work, because what I do normally, I work with decluttering, I work with physical belongings, I help people. It's an entry point for majority of the people to create a physical environment where they feel well. But many times they don't know that there is a huge connection between what's outside of you and what's inside of you. And as Amy is saying, like, if this internal work, if you don't do the internal work, if there is not a change inside of you, that change will not populate outside of you. And many times I help people declutter and organize their homes together with my partner, Samantha. We go physically to their homes to do the work. And many times we need to start with the awareness first. We need to understand what's happening. We need to understand the beliefs that are running that household, the beliefs, the stories that they tell themselves, the limitations that they are imposing on themselves, to do that internal work, that it is necessary, that invisible work. And then once you can overcome that, that once you can question all those beliefs and create new ones, once you can resolve whatever happened and get clear, get aligned, that's when you can get started moving forward in a different way. And then that's the time to create new intentions. That's the time to be more intentional, to set goals, whatever you want to call them, right? But basically to move forward into a different direction than you haven't before. And that will be a reflection. What happens outside, it's going to be a reflection of what's happening inside. And this is so true. So thank you so much, Amy, for sharing. Yeah, let me see what else have you guys shared. Harmony says, good morning from California. I'm looking forward to today's session. I have been trying to work through my childhood trauma and family issues, and with each time of me trying to address it, I have felt better afterwards. The work is hard, but it is a great feeling at a later time, and it adds to my current life. Amazing, Harmony. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for doing that work. And when we are trying to resolve our past, we are going to face inner child trauma. We're going to face family dynamics, generational trauma, if you want to call it. Basically, anything that you have learned when you were little, because from age, since we are in the womb until we are around 6 years old, that's what people normally say, that's when we absorb everything that we need to learn about the world around us, how, what we need to do, how can we save, how can we interact, how is love expressed. So we learn all these dynamics when we are very little. And then we carry all those beliefs and the things that we learned when we were little are about ourselves, about the world around us. We carry those through the rest of our lives. Unless we do inner child work, unless we do shadow work, unless we do any kind of healing work to really question those beliefs and create new ones, we are going to unconsciously keep doing what we learn because that's what we know. And believe it or not, that's what we can do because that's, that's, if we don't learn something new, we're going to keep doing what we know what to do because that's the only thing we know. So that's very useful to name, like inner child trauma, to name generational trauma, family systems that existed when you were growing up. And they don't have to be good or bad. They were just a system that was created, a dynamic, a behavior. You can call it however you want. But basically, you were raised in an environment. That environment, maybe love was expressed hugging. In a different household, love was expressed kissing. In a different household, love was expressed with praise words, but not physical touch. Different ways of expressing love. And if you start thinking about why did my mom always hug me or why did my mom never hug me, most likely she learned how to express that love that way from when she was raised. And it's not good or bad. It's just a way of doing it. So now this is your chance to really think about how do I want to do this? How do I want to express love? How do I want to show up? How do I want to do this? And then you get to have some ownership and you get to decide what feels good to you. And also you get to question, like, do I want to do this way? Does it feel aligned with me? Is there a different way of doing this? And then explore that different way that is going to feel uncomfortable. You are not going to know how to do it. But unless you explore it, you're not gonna know. Lydia says, what do you think when it's the time to forgive or letting go a person and set boundaries? Yeah, Lydia, really good question. When is a good time to forgive, let go of a person and set boundaries? I would say forgiving is always good now. And I know so many times it's very difficult to forgive and accept. But forgiveness opens the door to so many things, including healing. Letting go and setting boundaries, that's something that you have to do. You will know when to do that. But basically, I think that when you are trying to communicate something and maybe someone else is not receiving, is not respecting, and it's unsafe, and they are not willing to understand you, and they are not willing to change, unfortunately, the only way that you have to keep safe is to create distance, right? And sometimes it's physical distance, sometimes it's emotional distance, sometimes it's a physical boundary. And sometimes that's the only thing that you can do, at least temporarily, to until things get clear. So when it depends, Lydia, on each situation, it depends on what's happening. I don't have a specific answer because every situation is going to look different and my intuition is going to be different than yours. And in the same situation, if we put five people in the exact same situation, they are going to react differently. They are going to feel differently. For one person, the same event, for one person can be completely traumatizing and for the other person can be nothing. So the boundaries, how to let go, how to say no, all that is going to depend on how that person is feeling and what's happening. And it's very difficult because every person is a world, is unique. So there is not a recipe that you can follow, unfortunately. At least in my awareness, that's what I believe to be true. So let me see. Kathleen says, so I can't use the excuse that that's just the way I am. If I can become aware and make different choices, then I can change how I feel and who I am. Absolutely, Kathleen. Anytime you find yourself, anytime we find any of us saying, this is just the way I am, that is basically you saying, I am inflexible, I am not willing to change, and I am choosing to stay where I am. And if this is the case, then don't say, this is the way I am. Change the narrative and say, this is what I'm choosing. And when you start saying that, maybe you start recognizing like, no, I don't choose this. Yes, it's difficult to change, but I don't choose this. I want something different. And I have no idea how to do it, how to change. But at least you are being clear. So if you are saying, I am choosing to be stubborn, okay, I accept that. You are choosing that. But you are not stubborn. You are choosing to be stubborn. Can you stop being stubborn? If you want to, absolutely. You can start learning how to be more flexible. Is it going to happen overnight? Maybe not. Maybe yes. The process is going to look different for each person, but at least you are being open. So instead of you saying, this is the way I am, and just be so inflexible, I will invite you to change the world. I will invite you to question, like, why is this the way I am? Says who? Who says this is the way I am? And start exploring. And I promise you that little voices will start showing up. And maybe a family member will show up. Maybe a person in your infancy will show up. And maybe you created that belief because someone told you and you just believed it because you were little and that you didn't question anything. But now you can question and you can decide, no, I am not that anymore. I can change. I can become someone else. But again, it's difficult to do that. Like, it's really difficult. And I have an example today that I wasn't feeling well today. I was almost thinking, I'm going to cancel the life. I don't want to show up. I don't have the energy. And then I looked, it's like, of course, my talk is featured on Inside Timer. And it's like, oh, people are waiting for me to show up. I can't just cancel. I have to be real. I have to show up, even though I'm not feeling like showing up. So today, my wife and I, we went to the library. And then I don't know why, but anytime I go into a library, I just feel overwhelmed. It's just this feeling of overwhelm, of decision fatigue. I don't know what book to get. It's a new library. I don't know where things are. It's a new computer system. I have to create a card. I have a PIN. I was frustrated entering the PIN that I didn't remember. I had to get a new one. And I was just feeling this overwhelm. And then we got out of the library and I was just already charged. And then my wife was walking beside me and she was carrying a water bottle and then she was hitting my leg. And then she hit like 3 or 4 times. And then I just snapped at her. It's like, Samantha, stop hitting me with the water bottle. And then, of course, she knew what was happening. And she stopped me and said, what's happening here? What are you throwing at me? And I was frustrated. And he's like, I don't want to even talk about this now. I just want to go home and eat. And then she created the space. And I started dumping everything that was happening. And then she told me, like, Emilio, you can't keep doing this. I don't want to receive this bullshit from you. I need you to express what you feel. I don't want you to direct it at me. And then that's an example of how I don't express what I need so many times. I don't create the space to be frustrated or to be angry or to acknowledge what's happening. I keep it inside, but then it's boiling in there. And any circumstance shows up and something that is not a big deal, boom, I snap. And I normally snap. I don't snap to the neighbor. I don't snap to a nice person on the street. No. I will snap only at the people I love most. Samantha, my daughter, and pretty much, I think that's it. Maybe my mom sometimes. So I'm selective too. And then it's like, how unfair am I, right? But then the reflection here is, this is me not resolving my past. This is me not changing or not knowing how to change, because we had a dialogue after, my wife and I was honestly telling her, like, stopping everything that I am doing, stopping you in the street, creating the space for me to share how I feel with you, it just feels selfish. It feels like I don't deserve it. It feels that you have other things to do rather than listening to me. It feels like I am dumping on you. And then she was doing this. You guys can hear me. So guys, can you hear me now? I love when you stop hearing me in the middle of a story. Okay, wait a second. So yes, we are back. Okay. So basically, this is a clear example in my own life of how I need to resolve my past. I need to process it. I need to heal it in a different way. And the way I have been doing things until now, it just no longer works for me. I can't keep eating everything and not expressing things in the moment, because what happens is that they build up in me and then I become a frustrated and mean person to the people I love the most. And I don't want to be that person anymore. So I was telling Samantha in the dialogue, it's like, I just don't know how to do this. It just feels so weird for me to stop everything, create space, and then express, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And then if I have to do that every time I feel something, it feels weird. So then she was saying, well, but it's worse if you don't say anything, if you don't express it in any way, and then you direct it on me in the form of frustration, and then I don't know what's happening. So I need to learn. So what do I need to learn here in this specific example? I need to learn, first, I need to notice more. Okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Okay, I'm feeling this way. Okay, this is happening right now. Then I need to do something about it. Maybe it's create space. Maybe it's express it in a way. Maybe I have to tell Samantha, I'm feeling this way. I need a time off, or please don't take it personally if I'm mean to you. This is why. And then all of a sudden, everything will be okay because she will understand what's happening. And then I can learn a different way of dealing with those emotions. But that accumulation and then the belief of, I don't want to create space, I don't want to dump on her, those are stories that I'm telling myself, that they are not even true. And maybe she wants to hear that instead of noticing my frustration, right? So this is your one specific example of how I did learn how to do that from my dad. My dad is the person that doesn't express. He has a lot of emotions, but he doesn't show them. He doesn't know how to. And I met my grandfather, my dad's dad, and he was the same. So I understand that. And probably I didn't meet my great-grandfather, but I'm pretty sure that my grandfather learned that dynamic from his great-grandfather. And basically it has been passed from generation to generation because we have learned it from each other. So this is an example of generational trauma or generational systems, or however you want to call it. It's basically a dynamic that is being passed from father to son to daughter. And then now this is my opportunity to really question and say, Okay, so do I want to keep doing the same thing and or do I want to change? And my choice is I want to change. I don't want to be that. I don't want to repress that way. I want to, like Samantha was saying, Emilio, do what you preach, right? And it's like, yes, I own it. It is true. I have to learn how to do this differently, and it feels very uncomfortable. And I should know how to do this, but why should I know? Who? No one told me how to do this. I am learning it now, so I have to accept that too. I have to do this in a completely different way. It feels so counterintuitive for me. It feels weird. It feels uncomfortable. It feels clunky. It feels that I don't deserve it. It feels unnecessary. And then this is me. And I learned this from my mom. Don't inconvenience people. Go with the flow. You are not as important as other people. Always try to avoid conflict. Try to avoid, conflict, fights. Don't confront people. Just go with the flow, right? And then so many times I'm afraid of even creating space because I'm afraid, is this gonna be okay? Is the person ready to receive this? Is this the good time? And I start questioning all in my head, and then it just doesn't work. So yeah, so it's easy to shut down. Change comes with self-compassion, absolutely. But basically, this is a specific example of my own life that just happened today, that the past and what I have learned in the past influences how I show up 100% in a way that I don't like. So now my work is to become aware, to remember, to don't let things build up to the point that I become snappy and frustrated, to create more space to express, to share more, even though it feels weird, even though no one around me maybe does it as much. But Samantha does it a lot, and in my circle, we are allowed to share a lot, but in some circles, I don't feel safe or comfortable to do it. But maybe that's my story. Maybe I have to model that for other people, right? But it's so fucking, sorry, it's so uncomfortable to do it. It's so, I just rather go with the flow because that's what I know. That's what I have always done. But it no longer serves me. So this is an example of how resolving the past can help me move forward in a completely different way. And I don't like looking at this, and I don't, but I accept it and I own it. That is the way I do that. That is the way it shows up. Nicole says, I take time off and I told my ex-husband I am optional today, is how I dealt yesterday. I love when you share things like your experience at the library shows that you two are a work in progress. Kathleen, absolutely. We are all a work in progress. And sometimes I feel like a hypocrite. I don't know if that's hypocrite, hypocrite. Hipócrita, it's in Espanol. Because I'm here in front of you teaching stuff and sharing stuff, and sometimes it feels like, who am I to do this? Because I have so many things I need to work on. But that's the thing, right? Like, we are all on our journey and we all do our best, the best that we can. And I think the most important piece is to really accept who we are, accept what's coming up, even though we don't like it. And I don't like that behavior of mine. I actually hate it, but I have to work on it more. What if the people we express ourselves to aren't receptive? Yeah, Laura. Absolutely. You cannot open yourself up to everybody. You need to have their permission. Absolutely. This is why you need to feel safe. This is why I am lucky enough to have Samantha, and I can do this with Samantha. She can support me. She can hold space for me. But I also have to learn how to do this with people who are not receptive. I don't need to depend on them. I don't need them to do anything. I have to find my own way to self-regulate, and I need to find my own way to. But that's why maybe I direct this to Samantha too, because I know that she can hold it. I will not do this to an stranger. I know I will not do this maybe to some of my friends here because I know that they will not know what to do with it and maybe it won't be received. But I know that Samantha will receive it and she will probably call me out. And deep inside, unconsciously, probably I'm doing this because I know that I can do the work with her. But there is a different way of doing it. Christina says, oh my God, this resonates with me, so profound. Thank you for sharing your experience. Ashley says, how do I know if a person is my perception or their own pain? How do I know if a person is my perception or their own pain? Wow. Ashley, I'm thinking about your question. How do I know if a person is my perception or their own pain? Yeah, I would say that connecting with yourself to really sit on that question with the specific situation that happened to you, I think that that can be a good starting point, really reflecting and really feeling what happened at the moment. I would say that maybe having communication with that person, if that's an option, can be really helpful, really asking a few questions or creating space for that person to share. But many times when we see ourselves, when something resonates with us and we see something in someone, even if it's their own pain, that's inside of you too. And I was talking about this the other day, about the law of mirroring. Anything that you can see in someone else outside of you, it is in yourself, it exists in yourself. So this applies to how many of you feel, I don't know, this happens to me all the time. When I see someone in pain, something happened to them, sometimes I connect with that pain because I had it in my life, I experienced it, and all of a sudden I am bonding with that person. I'm feeling the emotion that this person is feeling because I lived it. I am aware it's in me too. How many times something happened to a person and they are having an attack, a panic attack or whatever, and I don't feel anything? It's like, I don't know what's happening here, but there is no connection in there. In that case, I will say that whatever is in that person, it doesn't exist in me because I cannot see it. I cannot feel it. So absolutely, if you can see or notice something in another person, it is in you too. Absolutely. We can get curious, ask ourselves the law of mirroring discussed last week. Yeah. But it's a really great question. And it's anytime you guys make a question and I kind of think about it, it's a good question to sit on in silence with and to really think about it, reflect about it, meditate on it, because there is so much wisdom on that, right? And there is so much opportunity to learn and to explore and discover, like, what does that mean? Is that me? Is that them? Why am I seeing this? What do I need to do with this? Amy says, African proverb, if there is no enemy within, the enemy outside me can do no harm. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, if there is no enemy between, so inside of you, the enemy outside can do no harm. Yeah, that's true. It takes two to tango, right? It takes two for a dynamic to work. So guys, what's coming up so far about this topic today? What's present for you in your life? How do you feel that this concept can help you? This idea of resolving your past, processing your past, or however you want to call it, can have a positive impact in the way you want to move forward. Sonja says, I am stuck. I know that I must do this work. I even know that this work helps me every time I move in this direction. But I am not moving forward. I am not taking the steps I know that I should take. I feel like I am punishing myself or not giving myself what I need because I do not feel worthy. But if I do not move forward, I will continue to live my life in a haze without seeing and being my true self. Yeah, so that's a very nice share, Sonja. And I will say that you already named what you need to work on, and that is not feeling worthy. And I have a session coming up about self-sabotage, because I really want to talk about, I want to have a conversation with you guys about self-sabotage, understanding how it works. And this is a specific example. You are saying that you know that you have to move forward, that every time you move forward, Sonja, it helps you positively, but somehow you sabotage yourself, somehow you punish yourself. And deep inside, you don't feel worthy. And this is the story, right? If you don't feel worthy, it feels weird to move forward because you don't feel you deserve it. And then you unconsciously are going to do something to sabotage yourself so that you don't move forward. Because that's the belief that you have right now ingrained in you. I am not worthy. And if you are not worthy, and that's your belief, even though you want to change it, but if this is your current belief, unconsciously you are going to do whatever it takes to make that belief a reality. I am not worthy. So if I have this opportunity and I am getting close to it, I'm going to sabotage myself because I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this. So this is a great opportunity for you to keep doing work about that worthiness. Where is that coming from? Where is that belief that you are not worthy coming from? Who told you that? Where did you learn that? Where is it sitting in your body? And then how can you process that? How can you question it? How can you accept it? How can you forgive yourself? And how can you understand that at some point in your life, you created that belief because somehow it protected you, it did something for you at that time. But right now, it is no longer necessary. Maybe it's no longer working. That coping mechanism that you created probably when you were little, it no longer serves again. So this is a great opportunity for you, and I think you are already doing the work. And sometimes, guys, resolving the past, healing, this is not a journey that looks like this. Sometimes this journey is like this. Sometimes you make progress and you are feeling great, and sometimes you just go down and it feels like you have gone down even worse than before. And it's like, what happened? I was doing so well and all of a sudden I am in the hole again. And it feels like I am deeper in the hole. What? How is this possible? But sometimes this is what happens. It is not linear. This is not a journey that always feels the same way. There are ups and downs, and many times it feels that we are not making progress, but we need to be where we are so that we can do the work that we need so that we can keep moving forward. And it feels to me that, yeah, you are facing that because there is something that needs to happen in there, Sonia, with that worthiness piece. And until you don't process or do something about that, everything else is not going to matter because you are going to always self-sabotage, feel wrong about it. You're going to feel that that's not for you. And until you can change that, it's not going to happen. You're not going to evolve in that direction because you have to process this first. Because you have to believe that you are worthy. If not, you won't get it. Because that's unconsciously, you are probably doing that. You are just following the belief that you have. But again, this is all about exploring, testing, always being very gentle with yourself, always being patient, and understanding that this is tough. This is a really hard work. Like looking at these things, they are not easy. You are shaking the foundation of your life. You are shaking the foundation of your beliefs. And when you do that and you start changing, then you are shaking the foundation from everyone around you. And this is what happens to me with my mom, with my dad, with people around me. Anytime I change, it just feels like I'm going back with that person and it just feels so different. And that person is looking at me, thinking, who are you? What happened to the person I knew? Like, you are different. I don't understand what's happening here. I don't like it. And then in my case, sometimes I also don't accept things that I used to accept before. And then that becomes even more weird because all of a sudden people don't understand what's happening. Why are you upset? Why are you creating a boundary here? Why are you being so like, because I have to, because I don't want to do what I have done until now. And I accept that you don't want to do it, but I don't want to be here again. I don't want to do this again. And that is really hard to do. Really, really hard to do. I have another story that I could share with you guys that happened last weekend. The inner punisher seems to feel the self-sabotage in us. I relate, Sonia, witnessing you with compassion. Yeah. Yeah, there is so much more to be said about this topic, and time is almost up. But yeah, guys, I'm really, really happy to have I'm really happy to have had this conversation with you. Kathleen says, "Wow, that's exactly me. I don't feel worthy, and that's why I keep making bad choices, because I don't deserve to be happy." So, Kathleen, that is the work for you. That is the work. I don't deserve to be happy. And I don't know if you guys were present when I did the tapping session and I show you how to use tapping. Okay, the sound is off again. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you in the next session. And until then, adios.